Most of my writing begins long before I ever sit down at a keyboard. It begins in conversations with God. Sometimes they are peaceful. Sometimes they are tearful. Sometimes they feel more like wrestling matches than prayers. But somewhere in those conversations, questions begin to surface. Questions that linger longer than they should, and emotions I cannot seem to outrun. I have always been someone who thinks deeply and feels deeply. Depending on who you ask, that is either a gift or a character flaw. On my best days, it allows me to see beauty and meaning where others might miss it. On my worst days, it leaves me circling the same questions long after everyone else has moved on. The truth is that most people know only part of me. They know the attorney who spent years trying criminal cases and standing before judges and juries. They know the professor who stands in front of a classroom. They know the writer who shares encouragement, and the woman who appears to have things reasonably under control. Those things are true, but they are not the whole story. The realist version of me is known by very few people. A small handful have seen the tears, the overthinking, the endless internal conversations, and the questions that sometimes keep me awake long after the rest of the world has gone to sleep. They have seen the moments when grief felt heavier than faith, when old wounds suddenly felt fresh again, and when I wrestled with things I could not fix no matter how hard I tried. They have seen the train wreck. It is usually in those quieter, unguarded moments that certain questions rise to the surface. Questions I can ignore when life is busy but cannot easily escape when everything grows still. One of those questions is surprisingly simple, though I suspect it is far more universal than most people realize. Am I truly loved? Not in the broad, general sense. Not in the sense that family members love one another or friends care about each other. I have been loved well in my life. My parents loved me well. Faithful friends have carried me through seasons I could not have survived on my own. God has placed remarkable people along my path, and I am profoundly grateful for every one of them. Yet beneath all of that, there are still moments when I wrestle with a deeper question. Not whether I am loved, but whether someone could know all of me and still choose me. Whether someone could see the complicated parts, the wounded parts, the parts that overthink and overfeel and struggle, and still move toward me rather than away from me. Whether all the things that make me who I am would draw someone closer or eventually become reasons to leave. That is a difficult thing to admit. Not because I am unaware of what Scripture says. I know the verses. I know the theology. I know the truth of God's love. But knowing something intellectually and resting in it emotionally are not always the same thing. Sometimes the longest journey we take is the 18 inches between our heads and our hearts. The heart has a way of revisiting questions the mind believes it has already settled. Old wounds have a way of whispering old lies. And one of the oldest questions I have carried is whether I am too much, not enough, or somehow harder to love than other people. If I am being completely honest, there have been moments when I wondered whether the problem was me, whether I was simply too much, too emotional, too reflective, too complicated, too aware of things other people seemed able to overlook. I have spent more nights than I care to admit replaying conversations, examining wounds, and wondering why certain words lingered in my heart long after they had been forgotten by everyone else. If you know me well, that confession probably does not surprise you. If you only know the polished version of me, it probably does. I suspect I am not alone in that fear. Many of us quietly wonder whether the very things that make us who we are also the things that make us harder to love. We worry that if people saw all of us, not just the capable version, not just the strong version, not just the version that has learned how to smile through disappointment, but all of us, they might decide we are more difficult to love than they expected. The longer I live, the more convinced I become that many of us are asking human love to do something it was never designed to do. We carry questions into relationships that no relationship was ever meant to answer. We want to know that we matter. We want to know that we are enough. We want to know that if someone sees all of us, the beautiful parts and the broken parts alike, they will not turn away. Without even realizing it, we place the weight of those questions onto human shoulders and then wonder why people struggle beneath the burden. Human love is one of God's sweetest gifts, but it was never intended to be our foundation. It was never designed to carry the weight of our identity. It was never meant to save us. Yet many of us spend years asking it to do exactly that. We look to other people to settle questions about our worth, our value, and whether we are truly enough. We ask human love to quiet fears it was never designed to silence. And then we are devastated when people cannot provide what we were never meant to receive from them. Not because they do not love us, because they are human. Human love asks to be enjoyed. We ask it to save us. The truth is that even the healthiest human love is fragile, not because it is insincere, but because it is human. People get tired. People misunderstand each other. People carry wounds of their own. Even those who love us deeply will sometimes disappoint us, not because they stop loving us, but because they are incapable of loving perfectly. That is not a criticism of human love. It is simply a reminder that every human relationship is held by imperfect hands. Christ's love is different. His love does not depend on our performance, our usefulness, our ability to get everything right, or even our ability to love him well in return. Human love can be beautiful, but it will always be imperfect. The love of Christ alone is steadfast, unchanging, and perfect. The older I get, the more I realize how often I have done exactly that. Looking back, I can see how often I searched for certainty in places where certainty could never be found. I wanted reassurance. I wanted security. I wanted the kind of love that would quiet every fear and settle every question. Like many people, I wanted to know that I mattered, that I was wanted, that I was chosen. What I did not realize was that I was looking for human love to answer a question God had already answered. That answer is found at the cross. One of the most beautiful truths in all of Scripture is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, before we had our lives together. Before we became spiritually mature. Before we learned how to hide the messy parts. Before we figured out how to present the polished version of ourselves, Christ loved us first. That truth becomes even more breathtaking when we realize that Jesus did not die for a carefully edited version of us. He did not die for the version we present at church on Sunday morning. He did not die for the version we display on social media, or the version that appears strong and capable to everyone around us. He died for the real version of us, the one who struggles, the one who grieves, the one who sometimes sits awake in the dark, wrestling with questions she thought she had already answered. He died for the version that does not always have strong faith, wise words, or tidy conclusions. He died for the train wreck, too. He knew all of it, and he chose the cross anyway. It has taken me a long time to understand that my deepest longing was never simply to be loved. It was to be fully known and still loved. Perhaps that is why so many of us long for the same thing. We want someone to see everything and not walk away. We want someone to know the whole story and remain. We want someone to look at our wounds, our failures, our fears, and our insecurities and say, "I am not leaving." That is exactly what Christ has done. Long before I wondered whether someone could know all of me and still choose me, Jesus already did. The cross tells me something I am prone to forget. God's love is not based on my performance, my appearance, my accomplishments, my usefulness, or my ability to hold myself together. His love does not fluctuate with my circumstances. It does not grow weary. It does not become impatient. It does not walk away when things become difficult. The love of Christ is steadfast, sacrificial, and secure because it is rooted in his character rather than my worthiness. Perhaps that is why his love is the only love capable of satisfying the deepest places of the human heart. Every other love, no matter how beautiful, is held by human hands. Human hands grow tired. Human hearts become wounded. Human beings make mistakes. But the hands that stretched out on the cross for us never fail. Some days, I still forget that. Some days, old wounds still whisper old lies. Some days, old insecurities try to convince me that I am too much, not enough, or somehow harder to love than other people. On those days, I have to return once again to the cross and remember what has always been true. For years, I carried the question with me. Am I truly loved? Sometimes I asked it through grief, sometimes through disappointment, sometimes through loneliness, sometimes through wounds I thought had healed long ago. But beneath all of those questions was another one. Could someone know all of me and still choose me? What I did not understand at the time was that the answer had already been given. It was written in scarred hands, it was spoken from a cross, and it was sealed by an empty tomb. Long before I ever asked the question, Jesus had already answered it. Yes, you are known, you are chosen, you are loved. Not because you earned it, not because you finally became enough, but because He is. Lord, thank you for loving us with a love that never changes. Thank you for seeing every hidden wound, every lingering insecurity, and every question we are afraid to ask, yet loving us completely nonetheless. Forgive us for the times we have looked to people to provide what only you can give. Teach us to rest in the certainty of your love and to find our identity in Christ alone. When old fears whisper that we are not enough, remind us that the cross has already spoken a better word. Help us to live as people who are fully known, fully forgiven, and fully loved through Jesus Christ. Amen.